The Mike Morgan Podcast, guaranteed to make you laugh. Not a guarantee. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mike Morgan Podcast. Thanks very much for joining me. I have a great episode today, just reflecting on opening for Tommy Tiernan, an absolute milestone of achievement in the comedy game. For those of you who are not from Ireland, Tommy Tiernan's like the Dave Chappelle of Ireland, the Kevin Hart of Ireland, like the Richard Pryor of Ireland. He's not black, so I don't know why I mentioned three of the all-time great black comedians. But yeah, he might as well be. He's unbelievable. He's absolutely unbelievable. We all know him. I watched him as a kid growing up, and I had to pinch myself. I had bruises all over from pinching myself the whole night. I was like, oh my God, is this happening? Like, you know, so it was one of those moments. If I retire now from comedy, I wouldn't be happy, but I'm just saying, I would have a lot to look back on. The last 6 months now, Vicar Street, Renania Martin, opening up for the likes of Al Porter, Tommy Tiernan. Ah, it's unbelievable. I'm playing into Everyman now in a couple of weeks with Chris Kent, and a load of others, Cork's best comedians. So like, yeah, shit is looking good. Be positive. I have to make sure not to be like, oh my God, thanks very much, I can't believe this has happened to me. I've said that a few podcasts ago. I have to stop saying that because people will lose faith in me. Like if your plumber like fixed your toilet and then after fixing your toilet came up to you and was like, come here, thanks for the opportunity, lad. If you ever need anybody, you'd be kind of like, come here, I have to get a different plumber. Same with your barber. If he cut your hair and is like, I'm come here, thanks so much for the opportunity, it means the world for me, I love doing this, and the fact that you would let me cut your hair, like, you would be like, oh lad, I'm definitely getting a new barber. This guy's a psycho and has no confidence in what he's doing. So no, I work very hard and I'm very grateful for all that kind of stuff. But yeah, work hard. So yeah, part of me feels like I deserve this kind of stuff, and hard work pays off. But anyway, yeah, got to open up for Tommy Tiernan, guys. So if you follow comedy in the Irish circuit, Tommy Tiernan is currently doing a work in progress show. So basically he's making a show, all new stuff, loads of new stuff he's working through, and he's been doing it without a support act, and for that day he just decided that I need a support act. And luckily enough, a guy that knows me got onto me straight away, and he was like, please tell me you're off. And I was off, and I got to go up straight away. Even if I wasn't off, I would have made myself be off, do you know? No matter what it was, even if it was my wedding day, sorry, Jessica, she would have understood, yeah, come here, we're going to have to do this another day because I have to open up for Tommy Tiernan tonight, like, do you know? I'm sure she'd understand. But, yeah, 100%, it was unbelievable. I went up there, like I said, with the game plan, did the Polish fella, did a couple of new bits, but also a couple of old bits that I know work, and it went perfect. It went absolutely perfect. I don't know what's going to come from it. Tommy Tiernan seen my set, he was laughing at my set, all his entourage, I don't know what you call people working for you, an entourage, but I don't know, these people with him all seen me, they all left. I seen him chuckling down the back of the room. I know myself when I do bad and I do good. I did very good, do you know that kind of way? I did very good, and I did everything that you would want a support act to do, and left them laughing and did everything brilliantly, like. So yeah, I know when I did a bad gig and it was a good gig. So I was floating coming home. I've been floating all last week. I've been working 40-50 hours in the van since, and I couldn't give a fuck. Give me more hours in the van. I'm showing all the guys at work the picture I'm sure that I got with Tommy Tiernan. I got a selfie with Tommy Tiernan. And I hate being that guy that goes, here, come here, can I have a photo? But like, it's my one downfall. Like I had a great gig in Kells this week with Fred Cook and Chris McShane, packed to the rafters, and I didn't take a single photo. Like, so no one online and my, like, so no one knows I did it. My online game is weak that way, like, you know. So I made sure, Mike, you're with Tommy Tiernan, make sure to get a photo. And I asked him, he was like, oh man, I'd love to, all this kind of stuff. And he took a photo, and in the photo, he started pointing at me, like, you know. And when I seen him point at me, lad, I nearly creamed myself. I was like, this is going to be on my hall, on my mother's hall, forever. Forever, that's going to be there. Like, I get to show my grandkids this photo of me with Tommy Tiernan, and he's pointing at me. Do you know what I mean? Not your regular photo of meeting at the street. No, he's actually happy with me, and he's pointing at me. So that's brilliant. And he was a very nice man. I love talking to him. He was everything I thought he'd be, in the sense that, yeah, slightly mad, slightly just a comedy enthusiast. I've never seen such a meticulous sound check in my life. Like, he walked in, and it was so cool to see, as a guy that's at comedy, like, in my first 7-8 years of comedy, this guy's been at it 40 years, and just to see, like, he doesn't take anything for granted, including the sound. He showed up early to do the sound check. I showed up early because I just wanted to make a good impression, you know. I didn't want to rock up 10 minutes, and no, I wanted to show up early, make a good impression. He showed up early and shook his hand. I haven't washed my hand since, and he did the most meticulous sound check I have ever seen any comedian do in my life. He was turning off lamps, he was turning off and on lamps, he was turning off fairy lights, turning them back on again, doing sound checks, and doing these crazy poems in his sound checks as well. These poems, they were beautiful. I don't know, did he make them up, or is he quoting some of his favourite poet or something like that? But they were beautiful poems that he was whispering into the microphone on the sound check. And then his manager was like, to me, do you want to do a sound check? I was like, I don't know, does the microphone work, I suppose, like, you know? And I asked him, I goes, do you want me to do a sound check? And he was like, yeah, do a sound check. So I went up and I goes, 1-2, 1-2. And I was like, that'll do. After Tommy Tiernan taking a half an hour, I took 10 seconds. I was like, I'm low maintenance. I'm very low maintenance. But also it shows me, Mike, stop giving a fuck. Like, you see, I do gigs in youth centres, mate. It, like, the microphone don't even work, so it's pointless doing a sound sound check, like, you know? Whereas Tommy Tiernan's doing the fucking arenas and fucking the greatest venues that the country has to offer, so I suppose the acoustic sound of the room means a lot to him. He's been doing it a long time, so he knows what to check for. I'm doing a sound check, just going, yeah, it works, yeah, boom, they can hear me. I'll tell dick jokes now for the night, you know? So, it was great to learn from that experience. Of course, I stayed back and watched him. It was, yeah, amazing. Amazing to see a comic that is so seasoned and such a veteran and also at the top of his game going through the new bits. Like, he is going through brand new bits and just watching him flesh it out, because I am also, to a smaller extent, obviously, to Tommy Tiernan. I'm trying to write a lot of new bits for myself recently, and I've been going up to Cork, trying them out, and even in the gigs that, you know, that I might be getting, like, that are, like, headline gigs, I still try out new stuff in between them. I'm in that mode right now. So to watch a man that doesn't need to be doing this, his money's made, he doesn't need to be here, but he loves the art so much that he was working out new bits, and I was watching it, and I'm watching it develop, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful. I'm the type of guy that I would like to see your show in the work in progress part, rather than the finished article in the theatre. I would rather go see you in a pub, fleshing shit out, with all the mistakes that the joke is, because by the time you see it in the theatre, all the fat is trimmed off the jokes, it's been tried out in front of 1,000 audiences, the comic knows it works, whereas in these environments, he doesn't know it works. He doesn't know is it going to work. He knows it's a funny idea, but what part is funny? Do you know? Like, I'm going through a similar experience now at the moment. I believe on my first podcast that I did on this, the Mike Morgan podcast, I was talking to you about my sleep paralysis experience that I keep waking up in the back of a van. It's a true story that I said on my podcast. It was just basically that I fell asleep in the van, thought I woke up, but I actually woke up back in the van. And then a series later, I wake up in the... I keep waking up in the back of a van, basically. So it's something that's annoyed me because it happened years ago and I want to make a joke about it, but it's just so long to make a joke about it that currently, in the last month, I have thrown myself into it. Even my girlfriend has been saying for years, Mike, you have to write a joke about that bit, about that story. It's so interesting and it's funny, but I'm just like, it's so long. But you know what? If it's going to be a bit, it could be my whole show. Like, I tried last Wednesday now. I was up in the Pav in Cork and I had 20 minutes to do that, up there. But my whole new bit was nearly the new joke. Do you know what it was? So it was basically waking up in a van and something else happens. I wake up in a van. The next, I don't want to spoil it for you because I want you to come see my show. But then another funny thing happens, wake up back in the van. So it's like an inception of jokes that I keep waking up in the back of the van. And honestly, the more I write about it, the more I love it. To be honest, at the end of the year, this is going to be my show. Do you know that kind of way? It's absolutely, it's so entertaining. It's my type of humor where it's silly, but it's kind of scary and you don't know what's happened next and you forget about it. You forget about the van story and right when you forget about it, boom, we wake up back in the van. It's everything I love doing in a comic. And yeah, and my girlfriend always knew that as well, like in the sense that it's a joke that would suit my style of callbacks and silliness, and I've thrown myself into that joke now at the moment, and it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while to flesh out, but I'm really enjoying it at the moment. And like that, I'm going through that, and to watch Tommy Tiernan in a similar vibe, obviously a way higher standard, but to do that and take an hour and a half to be working these things out and still not be happy with himself. He walked off not happy with himself, you know, right, going over the jokes he did. Like, he doesn't need to do that. Like, he could just do the old bits, do the whole hitters, make a load of fucking money, drink champagne and fucking eat steak after the show and do whatever the fuck he wants. He doesn't need to do it, but he's an artist and he loves doing it. And Jesus, I got some buzz off it, lad. It was everything I thought it would be and more. I don't know what's going to come from it. To be honest, there was a lot of people there that were worth impressing. My manager, Vinny, then also said that everybody left and people were coming up to him after, and that I made a lot of people happy that I need to be making happy. So that's brilliant. And I'm absolutely delighted for that. So, yeah, honestly, nothing might come from it, but I know I did the best I could. And I've done a lot of things in my life where I didn't do my best. Where I would have failed. There's nothing worse than, yeah, you might have failed something, or you might have done good at something, but ain't there nothing worse than not doing your best. Even if your best isn't good enough, but ain't there nothing worse than going, shit, I left a bit behind me there, didn't I? Whether it be an exam, whether it be like a relationship, whether it be anything at all, there's no worse feeling. A match, a soccer match where you didn't give it everything, there's no worse feeling than driving home and going, fuck, lad, I could have done a bit more. Do you know, I've experienced that 1,000 times in life and will experience it hopefully less and less, but will experience it again. And I know for a fact that Tommy Tiernan night, however I feel driving home, I don't get to feel like that, because I know I did the best I possibly could that Mike could possibly produce. I did that. So yeah, no beating myself up about it. I'll always find a reason to beat myself up about it. I could do a Dayson gig and I'd be like, yeah, but that bit at that time, at that this. No, none of that. Well done. Move on to the next one. Do you know what I mean? And gave me a bit of gusto as well. And gave me, do you know, if Tommy Tiernan's laughing at your jokes, like, and happy talking to you after and saying good job and stuff. Yeah, like, stop. I need to stop just going, oh, fuck it, man. Am I ever any good? Am I good? Or nah, kid, the best comedian in the country. You made chuckle in the back of the room. Relax. Drive on with it. Do you know? I'm so negative, lad, and I have to stop. So, yeah, that's me talking to myself, not to you guys. Sorry about that. But yeah, so amazing experience. And thanks for all the lovely messages, guys, and the backing everybody gave me for it as well. I felt the love when I put up that post online. I hate putting up stuff going, oh, look at me. But I felt, with Tommy Tiernan, I had to. I just had to go, yeah, this is unreal. And everybody was really happy with me. Got a lot of texts from people that I haven't seen from school. And it's, do you know what? Opening for Tommy Tiernan is nearly like validation for everybody else. Not for me, because I know that I work hard and am decent enough at comedy. But people are like, oh, I don't know about Mike. Never seen me. It's like, oh, he's opening for Tommy Tiernan. He's good. Do you know, it takes a photo like that for people to validate you, like, you know, which is fickle from some. But then again, I'm like that as well. It's like, I wouldn't know a player until he's playing for Real Madrid, and then I'm like, oh my God, he's unreal. So life is like that. Tommy Tiernan being Real Madrid in that scenario. Yeah, so great crack. Anyway, guys, some housekeeping. So the gig on April 13th in Mallow, Joe Rooney's gig. Tickets are flying out the door. You can buy tickets on Eventbrite for that one. So that's on the Hybe on April 13th. I'll be in Tralee on April 27th. I'll be in the Everyman on April 11th. You can't buy tickets to that one because it's sold out. So I'm just boasting about that one. Anything else? Yeah, everything else will be up in my story. I suppose the Mallow one is the one I'm selling, that I'm responsible for selling. So yeah, so buy tickets for that. So yeah, guys, the only other thing really I wanted to talk about is crypto. Crypto is back in a big way. People are talking about it. I'm 31 years of age, going on 32. I'm at an age where I've heard about Bitcoin and crypto for the last 10 years, been in and out of it. I've had friends that have been crypto bros. I've had gone through series of buying altcoins and buying little bits of this, selling this, losing interest in it, losing faith in it altogether. And now it's just come back in a big way. So this week, Bitcoin has reached its all-time high of 70,000 euros, guys. This time last year, it was 19,000. So basically, if you put 1,000 euros in last year, it is now 4,000. So basically, all I want to say, and if there's anybody out there that's actually into crypto or knows anything about it, get on to me. I'm actually kind of interested now. I'm not investing anything, but I'm wondering, am I stalling? Should I? It's nearly FOMO at this stage. I have a very small amount of it, like, but I'm wondering, should I be investing more? Hear me out. So I don't understand everything about everything, like most people in crypto world. But what I do understand is that there is not an infinite amount of Bitcoin. There is only a certain amount ever made, right? We deal today in currency that people print. Back in the day, you had to have as much money, as much money as you had gold. It was called the gold standard. So you could only produce as much money as you had gold. Now what we're doing, and as we've seen through the pandemic, and as we see in the stores today, governments are just printing money. Therefore, money is becoming worthless, guys. You know yourself. Sure, look at the groceries. Look at the price of everything. Absolutely everything has doubled, tripled, and quadrupled in price due to inflation. And part of that is due to governments printing money. There's no more gold standard, they're printing money. The reason Bitcoin is so popular between the younger people or the younger generation is because the governments have failed us completely, guys. Let's be honest. I'm working two jobs full time and I'll barely be able to afford a house. Back in the day, you could have six kids, a wife, a part-time job and an alcohol addiction, and you seem to afford your mortgage and two cars out your front. No hassle at all. But now, two people need to be working full time, absolute savage jobs, saving every fucking penny, and maybe they might buy a house that's attached to somebody else's house. Do you know? It's gone absolutely crazy. So that being said, Bitcoin cannot be printed, can't be cannot be copied, it can't be stolen, it can't be anything like that. It's everything that's wrong with money is right with crypto. And that's why you're seeing a big surge in the crypto market again. Now, my big fear is that it was all a big Ponzi scheme and that it's not backed by anything, but no, it is, guys. Banks are putting in money into it. You can buy ETFs of cryptocurrencies. It's been accepted nearly worldwide now at this stage, guys, and it's taking off again. There's projections that say Bitcoin in 2030 will be worth 4.5 million. One Bitcoin will be 4.5 million. There's only, I think, 200 million or 200 billion ever made, and there's only 10% left to buy. And after everything is bought, guys, that's it. They're not printing anymore. That's it. Do you know? It can't be stolen, inflation can't affect it, nothing like that. If there's only a billion made, let's say, for example, I don't know the exact number, they can't print any more of it. And it's actually coming to an end, guys. There's only a certain amount of Bitcoin even left. So then it'll be traded individually and it'll skyrocket. So, like, the people who are very optimistic say it'll be worth 4.5 million. The people that, even the most pessimistic people, say it'll only be worth 100,000. And that's the most pessimistic people. It's worth 70,000 now. So you'll break even if you hold on to it. So that's what people are saying. No, this is not financial advice. I'm just spitballing. And I like to talk about different things all the time on the podcast. But this is what I'm going through the last 2 weeks now. I love listening to finance podcasts. When I get bored of comedy podcasts and football podcasts, I try on finance podcasts. And then after a week, I get sick of those and go back to football and go back to Joe Rogan and switch between them. So at the moment, I'm just going through a very crypto vibe. I haven't done anything. I haven't acted on it. I'm just talking to friends about it, looking up stuff on YouTube, and haven't really got the balls to go in for anything. But I just wanted to say to my podcast listeners, do you know anything? I'm not saying, oh, I might do it right now, but just tell me what you're going through mentally. If you've no interest, I would say have an interest. I would say definitely look into it. It's more FOMO for me. I'm not going to put my life savings in it, far from it, but like I'm interested. I was always interested and I dabbled a bit back in the day and now it's gone up a bit and I'm just thinking, oh, it's gone up. Will I stop buying? No, it's kind of like it could go to the moon. Like, and it's been around 15 years now, guys. It's not going to go to zero. I don't think it's a Ponzi scheme. I think the other altcoins are. I think the other coins that Elon Musk has invented, what's it called, Dogecoin, the coin that will be used as space currency. Fuck that, lad. Bitcoin is very valuable right now, and it'll continue to be valuable. And I know the euro's gone to fuck, the sterling's gone to fuck, everything, like, inflation's gone through the roof, but Bitcoin is a hedge against that. So that's the only thing I just really wanted to talk about. It was just on my mind, basically, and just wondering, do you have any thoughts? Get on to me. Let me know what you think. I don't know really what to think of it, but it's just, I'm listening to a lot of it these days, and I might throw a couple of £100 at it just for the laugh, just for giggles, you know. But yeah, it's very interesting. Anyway, if you're not into it, I would stop saying, oh, I don't know anything about it, so I'm not going to get into it. I would say it would be worth the next drive you're on, the next hour or two drive you're on, listen to an old beginner's podcast for it or something like that, because it is very interesting and I feel like it is going to be the future. I feel when my daughter's 20, 30, I feel like Bitcoin's going to be a big thing then as well. I don't think it's going away. So that would lead me to think definitely invest in it. So you know this isn't financial advice. If you're taking financial advice from a bang average comedian, that's your own fault. Anyway, buy tickets for a Mala show. Thanks very much for listening. And yeah, I love you dearly. Peace and love, y'all. Peace and love.